Part two, continuation, completion of the shit that I said last year. Don't at all be concerned that, well, you don't really remember what I said last year.
We had your lunchtime yesterday.
Oh.
You heard me lunchtime yesterday. Okay. Anyway, this is going to be the completion, the sequel and the continuation of that shiur. I don't know, what did you show yesterday at lunchtime?
One of Rabbi Gold's classics.
One of Rabbi Gold's classics.
The Torah portion for Rosh Hashanah.
Well, that's not what this is going to be about. So, this is not a summer, an end of summer rerun. All right. In Parashat Nitzavim, the parasha that we read this past Shabbos, we have a number of psukim that are discussed by the Mefarshim. They're fundamental psukim in Torah. Ki hamitzvah hazot Hashem Elokim mitzavech hayom. This mitzvah that I command you today, lo nifleti mimecha, it's not far from you, it's not distant, it's not impossible. V'lodachokahi, it's not so far away. Lo bashamayim hilemo, this mitzvah that I tell you is not in the heavens that we would have to say, mi yalalonu hashamayim, who's going to go up to the heavens, v'yikachehalonu, and take her unto us. V'yashmieno ota, and tell us about it, v'naasena, we will do it. V'lo me'eval anyam hilemo, mi yalalonu el eber anyam, it's not the other side of the sea that we have to say to somebody, who's going to cross the sea and bring it to us? So that we should hear it. This mitzvah is close to you, it is in your mouth and your heart to do it. The Ramban. I'll tell you briefly what the Ramban says, and then we'll read his words. The Ramban says that there's one opinion that says ki hamitzvah hazot, this mitzvah, refers to all of Torah. To which the Ramban responds by saying, if it would have said ki hamitzvah, the mitzvah that I command you today, it could be understood as all of Torah. But the moment it says ki hamitzvah hazot, this mitzvah, means that it's a very specific mitzvah. Not all of Torah, but one single, solitary, specific mitzvah in Torah. And which mitzvah in Torah is it talking about? It's talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. Then there's going to be a beautiful, beautiful one line, one sentence in the Ramban where he sums up the totality of the mitzvah of tshuva. Beficha ubilavodacha la'asoto, it is in your mouth and in your heart to do it. And he says that basically we have over here the three pillars upon which all tshuva stands. It has to be beficha, you have to express with your mouth, the Rambam says, what you have decided in your heart, you have to express it through vidui, the confession. It's beficha ubilavavcha, but it has to come from your heart. Regret for the past, wanting to correct mistakes of the past. And la'asoto talks about the future. In tshuva, there has to be regret for the past, there has to be the confession where I express it, and then I have to make the decision that I'm going to conduct myself in a proper halachic Torah manner from now on and further, and that is incorporated in the word la'asoto, to do it in the future. I'm going to go quickly through the Ramban, because there's going to be something very important I have to point out. The time, the meaning of ki hamitzvah hazot, those who say al-kol ha-Torah kul, it means all of Torah. V'anachom, he says, but the correct way to approach it is ki al kol ha-Torah yomar, if the pasuk would be talking about the whole Torah, it would have said kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavech hayom, all of the mitzvah that I command you today. Aval ha-mitzvah hazos, when it says this mitzvah, that means we're talking about something specific. We're not talking about the totality of Torah. Aber la mitzvah zot al hatshuva hanizkeret. It's talking about tshuva, which I mentioned earlier in the parasha. Ve'hashevota elavavecho, you will return to your heart. Ve'shavta Hashem elokecho, and you will return to God, your God. Mitzvah, the Ramban says clearly, it is a mitzvah sheyitzaveh otanu la'asot kein. God is commanding us to do tshuva. Commanding us to do tshuva. What we're really going to discuss in this year is it necessarily so? Can there be another approach? Is it possible that tshuva is not a mitzvah? That's going to be the sum total. And a different approach, that's my own, and I think I may have come up even with some significant proofs to my own approach. And I say it in all humility. The Ramban says the mitzvah is the mitzvah of tshuva. Now he says something here that we will see will be important to us later. V'shavta al Hashem Elokecha. Now the word v'shavta al Hashem Elokecha that we will be saying in davening, and we're going to say it in slichas, we've been saying in slichas. V'shavta al Hashem Elokecha can be interpreted in one of two ways. It can mean you will do tshuva. It can mean you shall do tshuva. It could be interpreted as a command, do tshuva. Or it can mean that God is saying that ultimately, at the end of history, you are going to do tshuva. The Ramban calls this lashon beinoni, a terminology that can be read one way or another, and he assumes that it means both. Mitzvah sheyitzavu otanu la'asot kein v'nemra b'loshon ha'beinoni lirmoz ba'avtocha, in order to tell us also that there's a guarantee ki atid ha'davar li'ot, okay, the end is that we're all going to do tshuva. All of Israel will return to God. Ba'atam lemar, what does it mean? The word lemar in the pasuk, yes, he says that the pasuk even if you are cast out at the very end of the heavens and you're in the hands of the nations of the world, to Chaloshuva Hashem, you'll be able to return to God. Wherever you may be on the face of this earth, you'll be able to return to God. It's not that distant and far from you. This mitzvah is so close to you, you can do it at any time and in any place. And here's that one line in which he sums up tshuva as he sees it in the three words of b'ficha, in your mouth, u'bilavavacha, and your heart, la'asoto. And he says, v'zeh tam, b'ficha, u'bilavacha, la'asoto, she'yitvadu et avonam, that they should confess their sins, that avonam utam b'fihem, and the sins of their fathers with their mouth. V'yashuvu b'livam al Hashem, they should return their hearts to God. V'yikablu aleihem hayom ha-Torah la'asotam Torah, that they will accept upon themselves today Torah to do it for all generations. Kasher hizkir, as it said earlier, v'shavta Hashem elokecha atu v'necha b'chol levavcha k'mo shekidashti. Okay, that's the Ramban. The Ramban is clear that there is a mitzvah tshuva, and he learns the mitzvah tshuva from the word v'shavta. The Ramban is not that clear. Or there are two approaches in understanding the Rambam. Let's just see the first part of Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam, one of the great classics of the Torah literature. Kol mitzvah shebat Torah, all mitzvahs in Torah, bein aseh, bein lo taseh, regardless of whether they are positive or negative commandments. If a person transgressed one of them, regardless of whether one did it intentionally or unintentionally, listen to the next two words. When he will do tshuva, and he will turn away from his sin, he has an obligation to confess before God, blessed is he. Shenema, as it says, Isha o Isha, man or woman, ki yasu mikol chatos v'adam, that will do any sin, they're supposed to bring a sacrifice, They have to confess the sin that they did. Zed, this pasuk is talking about vidui devarim. This pasuk is talking about the vidui, the confession that we say with our mouths, the words that we say out of our mouths. Vidui zeh, mitzvah say this vidui is a positive commandment. By the way, from everything that we have seen in the Rambam, doesn't it seem quite clear, according to the Rambam, that the one and only mitzvah here is the mitzvah of vidui, confessing. Kishe ya'aseh tshuva, when a man will do tshuva, then chayav, he has an obligation to say vidui. You have to express it with your mouth. It's very important to be able to express it with your mouth. Rav says it a number of places. We have all sorts of built-in defense mechanisms. We don't want to find ourselves guilty of anything. We have a great deal of difficulty expressing it and saying it, you know, I made a horrible mistake. I made a mess of my life. I went ahead and did things that I should never have done. While there may be fleeting moments at which people will think it, but to express it, the moment that one puts it into words and says that I made a mistake, it all of a sudden becomes real. It's not some kind of ephemeral, nebulous thought that goes through the mind of a man, but it becomes something very, very real. And the moment it becomes real, that's when you can finally, once and for all, begin to face up to it. So the Rambam holds vidui dvarim, essential. But the Rambam seems to be saying that the mitzvah is vidui. Vidui zeh, this vidui, mitzvah tase, is a positive commandment. Ketzad mizvada, how does a person say vidui? He says, on Hashem, please God, chatosi, avisi, pashati, I sin, I erred, I rebelled, lefanecha before you, vasisi, kach, v'kach, and I did such and such, v'harei nichamti, I regretted all, v'avoshti, v'masai, and I'm ashamed of what I did. U'la'onom, eini choza, l'dova zeh, I'm never going to do it again. Now you hear, you see, he's talking about the past, he's upset about the past, making a clear statement for the future, and is saying it with his mouth, saying it, expressing it. The zehu ikaro shel vidui. That's what vidui is all about. The minchas chinuch, Reb Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chochmah say that yes, according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah of tshuva. It may come as a surprise, maybe even as a shock to you. We're going into the aseret mei tshuva, but I hope that by the time we end the shiur, you will understand exactly what we are talking about. So the Minchas Chinuch and the Or Sameach, and the Chav brings his uncle, who agreed with them and said that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, the mitzvah is vidui. The Rav himself says, can't be. Can't be, whatever. There has to be a mitzvah of tshuva. He ultimately takes the approach that in every mitzvah there is the act of mitzvah and there is the kavanah behind it. The act of vidui is the act, but tshuva is something that is in one's heart. I want to take a slightly different approach. And with great fear and trepidation, I want to sort of disagree with the Rav or take a different approach. Let's erase the word disagree. The Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, brings a few proofs that tshuva is definitely a mitzvah. Halacha bet, you see the next halacha, Umahi ha-tshuva. This is in the second chapter of Hilchot Tshuva of the Rambam. The second halacha. Umahi ha-tshuva. What is tshuva? So the Rambam describes it. Shiyazov ha-chotei cheto, that the sinner should leave his sin. V'yisido imachshavto, remove it from his mind. V'yigmar belipo, and come to a decision in his heart. Shelo yaseyu od, he'll never do it again. Shenema, and he brings a pasuk, Yeshayahu, Ya'azov Rosho Darko, let the Rosho forsake his path, Ish oven machshavosav. The sinner should remove the thoughts of sin. Yazov v'rosh adako. V'ish oven machshavosav. V'yashov ve'el Hashem. And he shall return to God. V'yirachameinu. And he will have mercy upon him. Ve'el avokeinu entu our God ki yarbel esvar. He is full of forgiveness. That's a pasuk, by the way, that is read in the Haftorah of all fast days. Here we're going to read it next time on Tzom Gedalia, next Sunday. Second, the Rambam says, V'chein itmachen al shavar, a person should regret the past. We regret the past, you know. We made mistakes. We don't make big mistakes. We're good. We don't make big mistakes, but we made mistakes. Yitmachen al shavar, regret the past, shenema. Ki acharei shuvi, brings a pasuk from Yirmiyo, ki acharei shuvi, after I did shuva, nichamti, I regretted. But what does it mean after you did shuva? I understand that Yirmiyo is saying the following. Chet means a rupture in the relationship between man and God. Shuva is where that relationship is being rebuilt. And it's only after one does tshuva that he really begins to regret the period of time that he was distanced from God. He feels the closeness of God and says, "Vey, what a fool I was when I sinned and I cut that relationship. Take a look at how much better it is now that I have that relationship. Acharei tshuva, after I did tshuva nichamti, I really understood what it means to regret that period in my life when I hadn't done tshuva." Yes.
In other words, his regretting is not regretting the sin. He comes to it afterwards that he did not live in the way of Hashem all the time.
Well, I would say that they're pretty close to one another.
Because otherwise you couldn't do tshuva unless you regretted what you did.
So what I'm saying is there obviously had to be regret in order to do tshuva. But Rabbi Yirmiyahu was saying that there's an even greater degree of regret, in other words, a greater degree of understanding. When one who sins has difficulty seeing clearly. That's going to be the subject of another drasha one of these days.
Next year.
Wait a minute, we still have another Tuesday. Oh. Next week. Yes. I'm not sure yet. When one is no longer on the path of sin, he's able to see things with even greater clarity than before. And then his regret is even more meaningful and significant. The third thing, and then the Rambam goes on to say, this is amazing, V'yod olav yodea talumos, and the one who knows all secrets will be able to testify about him, shelo yoshuv lazeh achet li'olam, that he's never going to return to doing that sin. Shenema, as it says, and this is a pasuk in the Haftorah of this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Shuvah, v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'ma'asei yodeinu. We will never again say about the work of our hand that this is our God. We're never going to worship ourselves or anything else again except God. Tzorich l'svados, b'svasov, you have to say it out with your mouth, with your lips. The lomer in Yonos El, you're supposed to say these things should come up in the code that he had decided in his heart. The Rav says from this halach in the Rambam, what did the Rambam begin with saying? Umahi ha tshuva. What is tshuva? And he defines it, and he describes it so beautifully and so powerfully, and he brings psukim with which he describes it. So it seems quite clear that the Rambam holds this is a mitzvah of tshuva. Then there's another halacha in the seventh chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, halacha hey, on the next column. Kol ha-nevim kulam tzivu al ha-tshuva, all of the prophets commanded Jews to do tshuva. Ve'en yischon nik'ol in elu b'tshuva, and Israel will not be redeemed except through tshuva. U'kvar hivticha Torah, and the Torah has already promised Shesof Yisrael lasos tshuva besof galuson, that the end is that at the end of their exiled Jews will do tshuva, umiyat hem nigolim, and immediately they will be redeemed. Shenamar, as it says, and these are the psukim in Parashat Nitzavim that we say in Slichus all the time. When all of these things are going to come upon you, you will return to God your God. You remember that's the posuk that the Ramban brought, and the Ramban used that posuk to say that there is a mitzvah of tshuva, and also that the posuk is a hint to what indeed is going to happen in the future. The Ramban here says, Torah has promised that the end is that Jews will do tshuva, and immediately they will be redeemed, shehema, because it says, you will return to God, God is going to return your captivity, he will have mercy on you, and he will go back out there, he will bring you back from all the places that God had dispersed you. So the Rambam says, the Rav says, take a look, the Rambam says, all the prophets commanded tshuva. A third proof that the Chav brings. If you take a look at those big words, Hilchot Tshuva, at the introduction to every section, the Rambam says how many mitzvot there are in this section. Look at that one sentence. Mitzvah Asei Achat, there's one positive commandment, Vehu, and that positive commandment is Shiyoshu HaKotei Mecheto, that the sinner should do tshuva from his sin, Lifnei Hashem, before God, to Yitzvadeh, and confess. This sounds a little different than the Rambam's formulation. Here he says, Sheyoshuv hachotei meicheto, the sinner should do tshuva. Here the Rambam, in his kotelet, in his headline, his heading, he seems to be saying that there's a mitzvah of tshuva. These are three of the proofs that are brought by the Rav. And I, in all humility, want to disagree slightly. Let's go back to that last halacha. Kol ha-Nevi'im kulam tzivu ala tshuva. All of the prophets commanded us to do tshuva. I don't understand. The Rambam doesn't write Kol ha-Nevi'im, all of the prophets commanded to keep Shabbos. The Rambam doesn't write all of the prophets commanded to keep the laws of kashrus. What do you mean, Kol ha-Nevi'im, all the prophets commanded to do tshuva? If tshuva is a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment in the Torah, so what do you mean the prophets are commanding? What do you mean the prophets are commanding? I say, do you know what it means? There is no mitzvah of tshuva in the Torah. And you know who is saying good advice to the Jewish people? Kol ha-Nevi'im tzivu ala tshuva. And take a look, the one pasuk that the Rambam could have used in Torah to say that there is a mitzvah of tshuva, the pasuk of v'shaftar Hashem lokecha, that pasuk he uses not as a definitive imperative, you shall do tshuva. He learns it as v'shaftar Hashem lokecha, you will someday in the future, at the end of time, you're going to do tshuva. Then we learn the proof of Umahi HaTshuva, Halacha Bet, where the Rambam asks, what's tshuva? And the Rambam describes the three steps in tshuva. Leaving sin, regretting the past, deciding on a future course that's going to be free of sin. You know, it struck me in this halacha. He's going to describe this great mitzvah in our Torah, and he brings three psukim. One from Yeshayahu, one from Yirmiyahu, and one from Hosea. If tshuva is a mitzvah saseh from the Torah, can't the Rambam find one pasuk in Torah that's going to describe the mitzvah? Do you know why he doesn't bring a pasuk in Torah? Because according to Torah, vidui is the mitzvah, and not tshuva. You know what the You know what the prophets are saying? Though there's no mitzvah of tshuva, but they're telling Jews good advice. You're going through difficult times. Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu are talking about there's the threat of Churban. You better do tshuva. That's the only way. This doesn't have to be a mitzvah of tshuva. I also said that the Rambam says in his Koteret, in the headline, Mitzvah Asei Achav, V'hu Sheyoshev HaChotei Nicheto L'fnei Hashem V'yitvadeh, which would seem to be that tshuva is a mitzvah. And I'm saying tshuva is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. We will explain why. I owe you an explanation. You're going to go home and you're going to say, forget the Aseret Zmei Tshuva, there is no mitzvah of tshuva. I heard it from Rabbi Gold. Myself, I heard it. I'll tell you how I read the Rambam's Koteret. The process of tshuva begins, regardless of what sparks it, regardless of what it is, and there can be so many different things that all of a sudden a person begins to think about tshuva. The first real step is an inner struggle between me and myself. And that struggle can take months, it can take years. Man is torn with, what am I going to do? It's too difficult for me. I can't. God will reject me. I don't really believe. And all sorts of things. The turmoil that goes through one's mind, through one's heart. Very painful process, that stage one in tshuva. The end of that process is when a person decides between him and himself, he's going to do tshuva. He initiated it. He arrived at the conclusion. When he arrives at that conclusion, then and only then can he stand up before God. In the heading, the Rambam is saying, Mitzvah Asei Achat, one positive commandment for who, and that is, Sheyoshev HaChotei Mecheto L'fnei Hashem, that the sinner will do tshuva before God through vidui. But what the Rambam is not describing is the inner struggle that preceded that decision to do tshuva L'fnei Hashem. First I do tshuva L'fnei me, before me, I, me, myself. I'm torn apart, and only after I've made peace with myself, and I know exactly where I'm going, what my direction is going to be, only then can I stand up before God. The rest of the shiur is going to be an explanation. What do I mean there's no mitzvah of tshuva? What a shattering thing! There's no mitzvah of tshuva. So I will present my thesis simply, very simply. There are certain things that the Ribbono Shel Olam simply doesn't want to command. What he wants is that they should come out of the depths of a person's neshama without any kind of coercion. And I'm going to give a number of examples. Example number one, on the top of the second side, it says in the beginning of Parashas Truma, V'yikhu li Truma, God wants to build a sanctuary. He wants to build a sanctuary, so he says, V'yikhu li Truma, they shall take unto me Truma. So the Malbim says, why doesn't it say the simple statement of V'yitnu li Truma, they shall give me Truma? What does the yikhu mean? They shall take. So he says God did not want to express it by saying they shall give truma unto me. because he doesn't want to coerce anybody to donate to his house. He wants to leave it up to Nidvas Livon. He wants to leave it up to Jews. You want to donate for my Mishkan? Donate. You don't want? I mean, you know, I can do without you. I want it completely to be of your own free will. The Yikhli Truma means that you're to appoint, Moshe, you are to appoint people who will receive the donations. But the donations, I don't want people to bring because they have to. In other words, listen, truth is, I'm having difficulty covering the overdraft this month. But the Rebbeinu Pashut is asking, God is asking, he needs money to finish his house, you understand? You know, fix up a few things over there in the house. He needs money, so all right, I'll go into overdraft. I'll borrow.
You got a crazy idea. You used to teach us that a kaka also uses persuasive.
It's Shia 73. That's a different. Yeah.
I
know. That we've talked a number of times. Rashi says about 8 or 9 times when you take human beings, Rashi always points out you can never take a human being, he's not an object. A human being is a subject. You can only take people by persuasion. So that's when we say that the word God, but over here we're talking about objects. Take unto me kesef, zov, gold, silver. Here, the word v'yikach means really simply to take an object. So the Malbim says, lo olamar, he doesn't say v'yitnu li truma, give me truma. Sha'oz, ha'ya mitzvah saseh, then it would have been a positive commandment, v'chiv al kol echad, and an obligation of everybody, liten, to give. V'ashen rotzah, God wanted, God wanted that this donation should be the donation of one's heart, one's free will. Nothing coercing him. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. You know the classic mitzvah about which I say this. Big machloket. Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or is there not a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, or isn't there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? And the great psalmist Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Rav Soloveitchik, where both of them said that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not an obligatory mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it's a mitzvah kiyumit. Mitzvah kiyumit means if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill a mitzvah. But you don't have to pick yourself up and leave. And come to Eretz Yisrael. The fact is that, of course, many Rishonim and Achronim say that it's an absolutely obligatory mitzvah. But I fell in love at one point in my life. I fell in love with this Psak Halacha of Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik. Because you know what it means? It means that there's nothing coercing me. I can make my own free will choice to pick myself up and go to Eretz Yisrael. You can't beat that. You can't buy that for any money in the world. A free, free decision. Yes, Mark?
Is it the most fundamental principle that you don't want to coerce is to have someone love you, but yet there is a mitzvah to love Hashem?
So then we have to go into the whole story of, but there are 613 mitzvot. You can't leave all of Torah to one's free will. We wouldn't know where to stop. We wouldn't know where to end. We wouldn't have a clue what's right and what's wrong.
What I'm saying is that should be one where he says, I don't want to make you love me. I want you to love me because you want to love me. Yet he tells us.
Oh, you mean the mitzvah of your hafta tashel lekecha? The mitzvah of your hafta tashel lekecha. For a moment I thought you got me, Mark, but you didn't. It didn't. The Rambam describes or defines the mitzvah of Yohavta Hashem Elokecha not as a mitzvah to love God. And there are a number of reasons. Number one, you can't necessarily legislate emotion. That's another problem. So you know the Rambam? And I believe he says it in Nichols 2, that the Rambam says, make people love him. conduct yourself in sterling manner so that when you walk through the streets, people are going to say, that's an observant Jew. That's a servant of God. So he's not telling you what should go on your heart. He's telling you precisely how to conduct yourself. You have to, you know what? You indeed have to live up to a standard that not everybody else has to live up to. You have to live up to another standard.
Nope.
I have to complete. I'll give you a chance in a few minutes. I gotta get the floor finished. There are mitzvahs that God doesn't necessarily want to impose upon us. He wants to come from us. So I said we have the Malbim with the mitzvah of donating to the Mishnah. I said the mitzvah of I hold the wife I fall in love with Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitcher, because it meant that I could perform a mitzvah without any coercion. And I've told the story a number of times. I've told the story about some fellow who came from Chutz Laretz. Nice Talmud Chacham, studied the whole issue of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is it a mitzvah? Is it not a mitzvah? Is it min haTorah? Is it midrabanan? Is it chiyuvis? Is it chiyuvis? All the longest that he came, he made an appointment to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Erbach Zeichen Tzadik Livracha. And he comes into Rav Shlomo Zalman finally, and he starts pouring out all of this Torah. And in the middle of his presentation, Rav Shlomo Zalman says it, simish vichtig, it's not important. And he says, what do you mean? Nice. He's devastated here. He's prepared this all those holy months. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Sinish Virtik. So, yes, what do you mean, Rebbe? So he says, it doesn't make any difference whether it's Min HaTorah, or Min HaRabbanan, or Chiyuvis, or Kiyuvis. Open up a Chumash, any place you want, and you're going to see that Tzon Hashem, God's will, is He wants His people to live in His land. That's all that's important. Nothing else is important. And interpreting him as saying, there's not even the necessity for a mitzvah. There's no necessity. You just take a look at Torah and you know that that's what God wants. I need you to prove to somebody that I have to come living in Eretz Yisrael. I've said it in the past. And what would have happened if Rav Moshe would have passed me, I have to come to Eretz Yisrael. So most of the students would have found another place. And those that wouldn't have found another place would have gone to ABC Trading on the east side, and with tears coming down their cheeks, I want that 700 liter fridge, the big one, the two doors with the automatic ice cube maker. I'll never be able to buy another one in my life, you understand? And with ice, with tears coming down their cheeks, I understand they're preparing their lift for Eretz Yisrael. Little does he know that big fridge won't even get into the front door of his apartment. What the convention wants is that a Jew should want to live here. Even if it's difficult. Yes.
It may not be stated as a mitzvah, but obviously so many mitzvahs are here, so you're not going to fulfill them if you're over there.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Very obvious.
That's so obvious.
There's a Rashi. At the end of Parashat Yitro, there's a Rashi that says, on the Pasuk, Im Mizbach Avanim Tivne Li, if you will build an altar unto me. Rashi brings Rabbi Yishmael, who says, there are three places in Torah where it says the word in, if you will do such and such. And they're strange. What do you mean, if you will build an altar? There's a mitzvah to build an altar. In kesef talvet ami, if you will lend money to my people, a Jew in need, you'll lend them money. What do you mean, if you lend them money? It's a mitzvah to lend him money. In minchas bikurin, if you're going to bring the sacrifice of the omer, What do you mean, if you're going to bring it? You have to bring it. So Rabbi Yishmael says these three places where the Torah says in, if the Torah really means an absolute obligation of mitzvah. The question remains, if there's an absolute obligation of mitzvah, why did the Torah use the word in? Kesef talvet ani. Lend my people money. Mizbach avanim. Make a mizbeach for me. Bring the carbon olive. I saw somebody said very beautifully, you know why God uses this strange word in? Because what he's telling you is, I know that I'm commanding you to do it, but try to do it like you would have done it even if there wouldn't have been a command. I'm telling you, you have to lend the jewels in me. You have to lend the money. But you know what you should do? You know what my will is? Do it as though I would have said in. If, leaving all the freedom to you. Bring sacrifices. I want you to bring sacrifices. I need an altar. I need it. You need it. So I'm telling you, you have to make it. But when you bring the sacrifice, not like it's something that you have to do. Do it like it's something you want to do. And the same thing with the Omer. The Omer is the first sacrifice that's brought with the first produce that grows every year in Eretz Yisrael. That means that's the first moment at which we can say to the Rebbeinu Shlom, thank God we have crops. Thank God we're going to make it through the year. Do it the way you, as though you need it, as though there would not have been a mitzvah. I have another few examples, but I'll never make it. This is not going to go into part three, I hope. It has to end now. I am positing the following, that there is no mitzvah tshuva. Mitzvah vidui, yes. Tshuva, no. Tshuva has to come from the inner self. Now, my proofs. The Me'iri, one of the great Rishonim, look at where it's underlined over there. He describes the inner process of tshuva. And he says, Lo he'ir tahu b'tshuva ahi. He was not aroused or awakened to that tshuva because of Hushas Teva. He's weak already. Oh, Zitro is old. Oh, Heder has none of the Yecholas. He doesn't have the opportunity to do Averis anymore. If he doesn't have the opportunity to do Averis, you know what? You might as well do tshuva. Otochochos mochiach. He said this tshuva didn't come because he heard the admonishment of some great Baal Musa, somebody who's telling him, you sinners, repent. No. Oro oto onesh achirim. Or he saw others who were punished because they had done something terrible. Ava avegahim. Sof davar, bottom line. You know what real tshuva is? Lo hit orer libo lesibo min hasibos. His heart did not become aroused because of any reason. Rak shehei tu tov kavanato. You know what awakened him and aroused him? His inner goodness. Vid bagesh mi nafsho. He's ashamed of himself. Umi bodo, and he's ashamed of God. Ba'asiyat haveda tahen. By doing those averes. Nothing coerced him. Do you know what it means, nothing coerced him? There was no cause whatsoever that put him to, not even a mitzvah. V'hitbonen b'achariton, and then he takes a look at what the end is going to be. V'hichmi'a libo, begins to think seriously about life, and then he simply subdues his heart, v'hitzro, and his Yetzirah, Lashor Hashem Yisbarach. We have a classic description over here of a tshuva that has not been initiated by anything outside of man. Everything completely came from within. And I therefore say that what the Me'iri is telling us, there wasn't even a mitzvah to arouse or awaken him to do tshuva. Not even that. I'm even thinking right now, the famous Rambam on shofar. The Rambam on shofar says, Tekiyas shofar, the sounding of the shofar, even though it's a clear mitzvah in Torah, but remez yeshbo, it is an indication of something. It comes to signal something. Awaken, you sleepers, from your sleep, and you slumberers from your slumber, and leave your evil ways and return to God. I'm wondering now as I say this Rambam to myself, you know what the Rambam is saying? If there would be a mitzvah to do tshuva, I need the sound of the shofar to shake me. There's a mitzvah that says, do tshuva. You know what the Rambam is saying? There is no mitzvah to do tshuva. It has to come from within. You know what may help that feeling from within? The sound of the shofar. Hayitok ha-shofar be'ir, can a siren be heard in the city, v'ha'al lo yecharodu, and people will not travel. You may have forgotten already, but we in this city know what it means to hear a siren and become frightened. How many times have I said when we should never return to those days? One ambulance, okay, two ambulances, pigua. Yeshayahu says, V'galti b'Yerushalayim, I will be full of joy with Yerushalayim, v'lo yishamapa, and there will no longer be heard in Yerushalayim, kol b'chi v'kol za'aka, crying or siren or alarm. Down at the bottom of the bottom of the page, that's a medrash, a very famous medrash. Believe me, it's a very famous medrash. It's on a pasuk. It's on a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel says, "Hanefesh hachotas, the soul that sins, he tamut shall die." Listen to this medrash. Sha'al lachachma, wisdom was asked, chotim amoncho, what is the punishment for a sinner? Amalei, so you know what chachma? And chachma of his wisdom is sefer mishlei, Proverbs. Pasuk says, chatoim teradeh ra, the evil, the sinners, you know what? Their evil will pursue them. Ultimately, crime doesn't pay. Ultimately, where was it? This fellow that was a deserter from the American army in Korea for 43 years or something, and he came walking in last week and he salutes and he says he's here to report. Do you understand that for 43 years, you know what he was being pursued by? His conscience was pursuing him for 43 years. He was not going to get out of this life without getting up there and saying, I'm the guy. 43 years. So Chochmo wisdom says, Chatoyim, sinners, Taradeifro, the evil that they did, is going to pursue them. They're not going to be able to live with themselves. Shaul and Nevuah, they asked prophecy, Kol Te Mahu Onsho. What is the punishment for a sinner? Prophecy was asked. That's the pasuk in Yechezkel. HaNefesh HaKutas, he tells, the one who sins dies. Shaul and Torah, they asked Torah, Kol Te Mahu Onsho, the sinner, what should be his punishment? Unless the Torah said, Yavi Oshon V'Yit Kapelo, let him bring a sin offering and he'll be forgiven. Shaul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they ask God, Chote Mar Onsho, what is the punishment for a sinner? God said, Yaseh Tshuva, let him do Tshuva, Vid Kaperlo. Do you see the unbelievably beautiful proof to my thesis? When Torah is asked, what's the punishment for a sinner? Why doesn't Torah say, Yaseh Tshuva, he shall do Tshuva? Torah's response is, let him bring a sacrifice. Why doesn't Torah say do tshuva? You know why Torah doesn't say do tshuva? Because there is no mitzvah of tshuva. The only one who can say do tshuva is God himself. And you know how he says it? As good advice. But this is clear-cut proof that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. At once in a similar context, it brought a, another proof. You know, I think we can keep saying Shemona Esrei three times a day until 120 years Gesundheit, and we will always keep finding something unusual and exceptional. Something that didn't hit us, so now it's going to hit you. The brachas in Shemona Esrei. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, God, mevorech Hashanim, the one who blesses the years. Baruch Ata Hashem, chonin hadat, you give intelligence. Baruch Ata Hashem, shomea tefila, the one who hears prayer. All of the brachas describe God as actively doing something, except one. Baruch Ata Hashem, ha-hotzeh b'tshuva, the God who wants tshuva. What do you mean he wants tshuva? If tshuva is a mitzvah, he doesn't simply want it. He demands it. You know what hotzeh b'tshuva means? You know what that bracha means? In a manner of speaking, kivyachol, God is dependent on us. I can't make you do tshuva. I want you to do tshuva. I can't coerce you. I don't want to bring suffering upon you so that you should begin to think of, about ultimate truths. What I want is tshuva. If it's a mitzvah, so you can't say harotzeh b'tshuva. If it's a mitzvah and God imposes it upon you, and it has to be, and you must do it, then he's not harotzeh b'tshuva. Whom it's tzaveh tshuva, he commands tshuva. The Gemara in Pesachim says that there were a number of things that were created before the creation of the world. In the list of these three things that were created before the world came into existence are Torah and Tshuva. If Tshuva is a mitzvah, so Tshuva should be included in Torah. Why does the Gemara say Tshuva and Torah were created before the world came into being? Because tshuva is not a mitzvah. Tshuva is something that's supposed to come from the inner recesses of a person's heart. God doesn't want to impose that on you. It loses all of its significance, all of its meaning. All right, God, you want me to do tshuva? All right, I'll do tshuva. You want me to bring money for your Mishkan? All right, I'll bring money for your Mishkan. You want me to live in Eretz Yisrael? All right, I'll do it, I'll do it. That's not what he wants. That's not what he wants. On some level, there are certain significant aspects of one's life that have to come from the very depths of a human being. I once gave an example. Once gave the example, famous example, you'll remember it. And if you don't remember it, it's okay too. The Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Baal Srivei HaEish, asks a question: why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? There's a mitzvah on Purim to give Mishloach Manos, send gifts to one another. You know, the apple, the orange, the peanuts, you know, the brownies. We have one person that sends me every year a this. Don't take this as a hint to anybody. It's a blueberry pie. A blueberry pie. You should know this blueberry pie. This blueberry pie has so many calories and so much sugar. To survive it is priyas amazing. But it's good. It's good. And I only permit myself a little stickle. A little stickle. A little stickle. Yeah, well, that's right, you have everything in there. So he asks, why don't you say the bracha of the bracha shekidishonu mitzos of ritzivonu on the shloach manos? Why isn't there a bracha on that mitzvah? Says, so Rechid Yaakov Weinberg says, don't you understand? The whole purpose of the mitzvah of mishloach manos was in order to create a sense of friendship and camaraderie. The moment that you say the tzivanu and he commanded it, you kill it. You know, what it really means is, I don't like you. I don't care about you. The problem, I have a problem. And my problem is that I have to fulfill a mitzvah of Shlach Manas. You're around, and I have an apple and an orange. I just take this apple and this orange. Is that? None. The full sense of the mitzvah can only be accomplished when one does it out of his own free will, not because Hashem Kiddushon of the mitzvah of Mitzvah. I'm going to make my last point. Chachmei HaKabbalah made the great mystics made a very, very mystifying statement. What's the meaning of the word, the name, Yom HaKippurim? And they said Yom HaKippurim means it's a day, K-Purim, like Purim. You understand what this means? The solemnest day of the year. If you want to know the meaning of Yom Kippurim, you know how you can understand Yom Kippur? It has to be a day like Purim. The most frivolous day of the year is that which is going to explain to us the most solemn day of the year. What did they mean? Oy, what did they mean? I'll tell you what they meant. The Gemara says the following. When Jews stood at the foothills of Sinai to receive Torah, the Gemara describes that God held the mountain over them and said to them, if you accept Torah, good, and if not, there shall be your grave. And the Gemara goes on to say, you come from here, it really means that we were coerced into receiving Torah, and that we could always turn around and say, listen, God, you forced us into this. But then the Gemara goes on to say, despite the fact that Jews received Torah at Sinai under coercion, Hodor Kibluhu Bimei Achashverosh, there was a second receiving of Torah in the days of Achashverosh, and they did it out of their own free will, as the Pasuk in the Megillah says, Kimu Vekiblu HaYehudim Aleihem V'Amuzaron, Jews accepted upon themselves and their children to keep these days of Purim. And the Maharal says, how do we see over here that they accepted all of Torah willingly now? Because if you accept the 614th mitzvah on yourself, you know what's understood? I accept all of Torah and I'm even taking on another mitzvah. So what does Purim represent? Accepting upon ourselves Torah of our own free will. So I'm saying that's the pshat. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. The mitzvah of Yom Kippur is the mitzvah of tshuva. That mitzvah of tshuva comes upon us not because it's something that we are coerced into doing, because there's a mitzvah, there's a divine imperative, God demands it. The mitzvah of tshuva has to come from within. And therefore I say that the Rambam indeed holds, and I agree here with the Minchas Chinuch and the Or Hasameach, that the mitzvah is really the mitzvah of vidui. Once one has begun the process of tshuva, has made the decision that he's going to mend his ways, then he stands up before God and he goes through the extremely difficult process of expressing this verbally, expressing it verbally. So the tshuva is, to my mind, like the mitzvah of giving to the Mishkan, like the mitzvah of coming on Aliyah. There are certain things that God does not demand. He waits for man. He waits for man. Because would he demand it, it would really be emptying tshuva of so much of its significance and its meaning. Ksiva b'chsina tov, everybody.